There were those little timelines as far as work and career and comparing yourself to people that are doing these things. And
Yes.
that's kind of where I would go, oh, but this person has this job or they're doing this. And you'd think, I'm so far behind. And you'd get like stressed out about that.
I
But
know.
I think you just have to realize everybody has their own timeline. And yours is, you know, you're doing things you're on your own timeline, and give yourself the grace and just the kindness and stop worrying about what other people are thinking. That's another big one that I still try to remind myself, that it doesn't matter what other people are thinking.
Welcome to the Voted Least Likely podcast. I am your host, Leah Yard. I'm a high school dropout who accidentally became an entrepreneur. After spending over a decade working minimum wage jobs, having a complete mental breakdown, and losing all confidence in myself, I somehow started a successful jewelry company. I am the least likely person to have ended up in the fashion industry, the least likely person to have overcome crippling anxiety, and the least likely person to have ever had the confidence to share my story. And I know if you are here, you've likely felt something similar. This piece of internet real estate is a place for us to share how we overcame our own obstacles and found a place to thrive, even if it was the last place we ever thought we would end up. We are talking all things related to failure with a little sense of humor on the side. It's time to expose the narratives we tell ourselves and the ones the world places on us. This is the Voted Least Likely podcast. Welcome, Karen, to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here. If you could just give everybody a little intro on who you are and what it is that you do.
Okay. Thank you for having me. First of all, I'm very excited to be here. My name's Karen Kunkun, and I'm a broadcaster, a TV and radio broadcaster. I also do a little bit of film work as well. And currently I'm a co-host on the Jeff O'Neill Morning Show on CFOX Morning Radio.
I love that. And I'm a bit of a fangirl because my partner and I, when we drive to work, we listen to you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, yeah. That makes my day.
You know,
sometimes we're in the studio going, is anyone listening to this? So
no, we're listening. We're definitely listening.
I do have to say, I love my job. Like, I'm a major radio nerd. I grew up listening to, loving, taping morning radio stations. So it is a dream job, I have to say.
You can hear it. I will say, when I listen to you, like, you can just hear, you're so joyful. You're so vibrant. And that's something actually I wanted to ask you. So that charisma that you have you always had that, or is that something you've developed over time?
Well, I have to say, I am a morning person. I really am. Like, I do generally wake up excited to, I mean, very excited to go to my job, but I think that is just me naturally. I don't really have to put it on. And obviously we all have off days. So if there's a day when I'm not feeling it and I'm driving to work and it's pitch blackout and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's miserable. It's raining. As soon as I walk into the studio and I'm with my team, with Jeff and Scott and Casey, that mood changes around because everybody brings a different energy and we're excited to talk to the people that are like on, whether it's text or calling in and just kind of tackling the issues of the day. We love that.
Yeah, it shows. It's so fun. You guys it always sounds like you guys are having fun, and I'm so happy to know that it's true.
Yeah, what you hear is generally what is happening. It's not like we turn off the mics and all of a sudden everyone's just like in a grumpy mood. Everyone's pretty much on a high until we leave at the end of the shift.
I love it. So having a career in media, I'm sure, has had a lot of challenges. Is there something in particular? Because I know a lot of people too, it's an industry they're trying to break into. Is there specific challenges that you could kind of touch on that you had?
Okay. You know, I think one of the main ones is getting that foot in the door. And because it is a very, I would say, once you're in, but it's really hard to break in. And advice that I got from the very beginning was just always kind of be available and put your name out there and contact your mentors. If there's people that you, that you're watching or listening to, and you think, oh, I really love what they're doing with their career, contact them, email them, DM them, and just maybe try to get a meeting with them and ask them how they, you know, kind of got to where they are today. That is one thing. People are so open and willing to help, which is what I really realized early on. And once you get in there, I did a lot of volunteer work. I worked on the street team at CFOX. I mean, I think when I worked there first, it was $8 an hour is what I was getting paid. And it was my weekends. And I had a regular full-time job and I was also going to school. But I just had so much passion for the radio industry that I didn't care that I was getting $8 an hour. I got to wear the CFOX gear. I was able to go to the shows and to be doing, or maybe in a small part, you know, something towards the career, my dream career. So I think don't be afraid of hard work and don't be afraid to reach out to people and don't be afraid to take the chance. Don't be afraid to hear no, that no. I sent my demo to hundreds of radio stations, like locally in the US, all the way to Australia, Europe, places that I didn't even speak the language as my first language. And I thought, I'm just going to send demo tapes to every and any radio station that I can get my hands on. And I got a ton of no's, but it still sort of made me feel like I was, you know, working towards my goal in some way. So there's probably a lot of Karen K demos out there that are in a trash can somewhere, but that's okay.
I love that. I really hope people hear that, because I feel like, I don't remember who it was, but they said that if you knew that a yes was at the end of 10,000 no's, you'd have no problem just getting through all those no's, right?
But yes.
When you're in it, it's obviously a lot harder to manage. So how did you deal with the rejection? Did you just kept going, or did it set you back?
You know, it's really weird, Leah, because back then I was so naive. Like I didn't care that people were saying no. I think now I would get more hurt about it or more worried, which is weird. You would think as you get older, you would care less. But back when I was younger, I was just like, okay, this is what my dream is. If this doesn't happen, maybe I will work in PR. Like, I always had a backup plan of what I wanted to do in different careers that sort of interested me. So whether it was advertising or PR or something to do with a record label, I always kind of had these little dream careers, but radio and broadcasting was at the very top of it. So I kind of think that I just did it thinking it'll never happen. It was kind of just like, it might happen, but if it does, that'll be amazing. But if it doesn't, it's okay. At least I tried. So I think it was just this pure tunnel vision of, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just going to throw it out there. And if it happens, wow, that's amazing.
Good for you. That's amazing. I love that. That's honestly, I think, the best attitude to have, because then you're not setting yourself up for failure. You're just going full tilt. And if it works, it works.
And I think back then, for some reason, I had so much energy, like in the way that I always, every day, I mean, I worked full time, I went to school. And during that time, I would always set out, you know, I don't even know how much time it was, but like 5 minutes would turn into 2 hours of researching different stations, who their program directors were, what format they were, and how I could make my demo kind of tailored to their station. And then I would just send them out. Like, I don't know how much I must have spent in, I know it's done so differently now, but just in postage. But that was just part of like, this is something that I'm going to do each day. And even now when I have a goal, I forget that it's just those tiny little steps that you need to do each day, which is something that I just did automatically back when I was going to school.
Yeah, it's the work ethic. I feel like it's just right. You just got to chip away at it.
And I think, you know, you write your list of all the things you need during the day to get done. And it's really easy to get very overwhelmed. But I think if we trick ourselves by saying 5 minutes, because if you put aside 5 minutes, you'll definitely do more than 5 minutes, but it's just actually putting in that 5 minutes per day, making the one phone call, DMing the one person that you may look up to in whatever field you're in, going, hey, I love your jewelry line. Do you have 5 minutes to talk about how you started? It's those little steps that could make a huge difference in your career.
I love that. That's something else I've heard you say in an interview was about feeling the fear and then doing it anyways.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? Because I know that's something that so many people struggle with. They get crippled by it.
You know, I forget that fear when it comes to broadcasting because I have been at CFOX for almost 20 years now, which actually blows my mind. It was my first job in broadcasting, and I started on their street team way back when. But I think when I can really harness that fear is going on a movie set, because I do a little like part-time sort of play reporters on different local TV shows and movies. And every time I'm driving to set, and I've got my lines, they're all memorized, that's when the fear sets in, like my imposter syndrome going, but I'm not an actor, but everyone else on set's going to know that I'm just a broadcaster pretending to be an actor. I have no right to be there. And that's when I really get that fear. But I'm trying to learn, and it's a real work in progress, to take that fear and that feeling that I don't belong and just say, you know what? That's not fear. That's just excitement. And you're super excited to do this, because every time I get off the set and we wrap and we're done, I'm walking on cloud nine going, oh my gosh, I can't wait till I book my next thing. But leading up to it, I'm literally like, I feel ill driving there going, they're going to look at me and think, you're not an actor. Get out of here. What are you doing here? So I feel as though I try to convince myself. So maybe it's just lie to myself, basically, and say, you're not nervous. You're not sick to your stomach. You're excited. You're super excited about this that's coming up. And I just try to convince myself that I'm excited.
I love that. I've definitely tried that. It doesn't always work, but once in a while it does. And also I found when I'm in situations where I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is the last thing I want to do. It's usually something that we've sort of put ourselves up to do anyway. So at some point we made the choice to do it.
Yeah. You know, and I do think that is a really important thing, because I have a daughter and she's 13 years old. And I really have tried to instill with her, like, I remember as young as 2 years old, it was having a gratitude journal. So, it's like you do your little nighttime stories, and we'd have our gratitude journal and three things that you're grateful for today. And sometimes I, forget to do it. But as soon as I check in with what I'm grateful for, family, friends, health, and career, those are like some of the things that always pop up as the themes of things that I'm really, really grateful for. And, it's the thing that we're grateful for that I'm so nervous about sometimes. It's like, I'm so grateful that I was able to work on this film or this set. So why am I so freaked out when I get the opportunity to do it, when I'm like so grateful for the chance to actually be able to? So I think checking in with that, like, what are we grateful for, kind of takes away the, I'm so scared. It's more like, wow, I'm not scared. I'm just like grateful and excited. So I try to manipulate my thoughts and fears that way.
I love this. I love this theme of like a little bit of delusion. It just goes a long way.
I think that's how I got my first job in radio, was being delusional enough to think that I had any, skills to even apply to all these stations that I was applying for. So delusion's a great thing to get you in the door, for sure. Otherwise, you get too inside your head. And yes. It happens now where I, I'll think, oh, that job, I can't do that, or I can't do this, because I'm so inside my head. And you see other people that are really successful, and it psychs you out, because they're like, oh, they've got like 500,000 followers and they're already in it and they don't need anyone else in that field. And they're like, and I say to my daughter all the time, but no one has your perspective. You're bringing something unique. So no one is going to do this the way you do it. And that in itself is a gift. So I try to remind myself of that as I'm telling her these things. It's like, okay, you got to remind yourself of that as well.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I feel like that's one of the most important lessons you can instill in somebody too. Like the gratitude is huge. And then, just going for it. That's so inspiring. And I know there'll be people listening to this that are just blown away that you even feel imposter syndrome, or like you feel dope, because you're so good at what you do. You're such a professional. You just seem like you've got your shit together. And I've met you outside. I know you do have your shit together. But I feel like no matter what level at, of course, you're always looking to someone else. You're always comparing. And it's hard, especially with social media. I mean, it's such a skewed view on what's going on.
Yeah. Leah, that is such a main sticking point too. I think all of the doubt that we have right now is the flippin' comment section. Because thankfully, one of the things that wasn't around when I first started, or as prevalent, or something that I was not obsessed with or even cared about, was the comments and what people had to say, because we weren't obsessed with social media. There was no Instagram or any of, like, there's so many beautiful things about Instagram, yeah. Like the connecting, the being inspired, the acts of kindness that you see that might trigger you to do something really great. But the doubt and the nastiness that's out there holds a lot of people back. And I think, you know, including myself, it's even when you, like for us on the radio, for example, we have a text system where people can text us in real time while we're on the air. And it is one of the things that I think have just innovated our show in such a way where we have now a fifth member of our show, and it's the listener, because we'll be talking about something and someone will say, what about this? Or what about that? Or this person showed up on stage at that show last night. And then it sparks a whole new conversation. And so it's helped us in so many ways. But we also get the negative side of things as well. And sometimes that can flip you on your butt and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a great show. And now, you know, Jim and Coquitlam hates my guts. And you're like, oh geez. And it throws you off your game, even though you, as an adult, you've been doing it for how many years, you wish it didn't, but it does hurt your soul. And of I don't course. Think, I mean, as any human, I don't know anyone that these comments don't get to. It's just when I think what you have to try to do is quiet the negative ones as much as possible, but also be realistic about what people are saying. Because I think there's people have valid points, positive and negative, and I try to take them into consideration with no matter what I'm doing. I do try to take them into consideration, but I think not having that little voice inside of your head, coupled with the nasty notes and voices that are on the internet, was a really easy way to go for your dreams and your goals back in the day. Whereas I think now people have a lot more to contend with.
Yeah, I guess there is more judgment that's kind of just right out there, hey?
Yeah, because before, I mean, you'd be on TV and you wouldn't know what people were thinking about you. And now it's like, oh, all of a sudden it's just somebody at you on Twitter or X or whatever you're calling it nowadays. But, and you're like, oh crap, I did a really bad job, or my hair was out of place. Like, somebody's going to tell you right away. Yes. It's just, I guess, how much you care about what they're saying. You just have to think, yeah, I'm trying to do my best, and go at it with your best. And that's all you can do.
Yeah. Do you have any rituals or routines that you kind of mentally prepare yourself? I know you do the gratitude journal. Is there like a morning routine, anything like that? Because again, you're so mentally strong. I need to learn from you.
It's all an act, Leah. It's all an act. No, you know what I think my big thing is? Fake it till you make it is number one. I do wake up. I will say I wake up every morning. And when I get up, it is disgusting o'clock. It's 3 a.m. and it's the middle of the night. And one thing that I always do is as soon as I wake up, I don't let myself snooze, because if I'm going to snooze, I might not get back up. So I wake up right away and I always just kind of say to myself, today's going to be a great day. That's it. That's just like a quick, like, today's going to be good. No matter what, it's going to be a great day. And I always say that. And I don't even think about saying it, but I've, you know, I think when you ask me and I really have to think about, like, what do I do that minute I get out of bed? That's the first thing. And then every Sunday, I should start with this. And this is super nerdy, but I don't care, because I cannot think in the morning. Everything has to be laid out. So every Sunday I lay out my clothes for the week, Monday to Friday, even if there's like an event or anything, because I don't want to think in the morning about what I'm going to wear for the day, running around looking for a sock. Like, everything's laid out, top to bottom, like shoes, everything's by the front door, bags by the front door, everything is packed. So there's zero thinking involved. Like, I'm literally a zombie when I get up. So everything's ready. Coffee cup is by the coffee machine. It's all ready to go. So get up, and then I do my prep with the rest of the team. And I think it's just, I'm super duper organized the night before. And that lends to a really easy morning, or easier morning. Because if I had to think in the morning, nothing would be done.
That's not nerdy at all. I think Barack Obama did that. So you're in good company. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So. Okay.
I think that's, it's like eliminating choices that you have to make. Cause the idea is that it's kind of like having open tabs in your brain.
Yes.
So, you and Barack, you're good.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Well, that's a huge, okay. Well, that makes me feel great. Actually, my daughter does it now too. Like I say to her, because I'm not here with her when she gets up to get ready to go to school. And she does the exact same thing. Like she's got it all laid out. I sometimes get a text message going, where is this? But for the most part, it's all laid out, school bags packed. It's like, give yourself the least amount of variables in the morning.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Speaking of your daughter, I know that you started something really beautiful. It's about talking to your younger self.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? Because I when I read that, I got goosebumps like head to toe. I just love it.
Thank you. You know, when Maya was born, I remember being, you know, just looking at her little beautiful little self. And I thought, gosh, I just want to give you and arm you with all the best advice that you could possibly have. And I know that I don't have it, but I would love to check in with people that I look up to and just ask them, what advice would you give to your younger self? Because there's so many different things that I've heard people say that, and, you know, I can think of now looking back going, you know, I wish that I told myself that I didn't need that extra outfit or that extra pair of shoes, save the money, you know, have that rainy day fund. Don't call the guy back if you can tell that he's not interested, you know, just little tiny little things. And if there was just a little book, a little guidebook of all of that advice that, you know, whether she wants to take it or not, because I know what I was like as a teenager, didn't want anyone's advice back then, but I just wanted to check in with people of what they wish that they told themselves when they were younger. So I launched this little project, and at the time it was with the Vancouver Sun, and hearing people's advice, and it was, you know, local broadcasters, people in sports, people, you know, just people in different fields, business people, and hearing a lot of the themes were just be kinder to myself, just give myself that extra piece of grace when I least thought that I deserved it. And those were the things that just stuck out to me. I mean, we had the ones that were like, don't start smoking, or, you know, the great ones like that as well. But the ones that really stuck out is just be a lot nicer to myself. And I think that that's something that I wish that I knew when I was younger, because I think I was really hard on myself, always expecting to be at these certain points when I wasn't. And why isn't this happening fast enough? And it's like, girl, you got a lot of time coming up. Like, just give yourself a break. That's the advice that I took from that whole project. But thank you so much for asking about that, because that was a really special project to me.
I love it. And it's something that I think about often, because you know how sometimes you realize you're living a goal that you maybe had for yourself when you were younger, and it's just such a trip when it happens. And it's always that like perspective shift. And I think all the time about things I wish I'd known.
I would love to know.
Oh my gosh. There's so many things. One is the time thing for sure. Like you have more time. I'm turning 36 this year, and I definitely don't think I don't feel where I thought I would be at a certain age.
Okay.
But I'm in a different place, and I feel like when I look at it now, I'm just realizing it doesn't really matter. Do you know what I mean? The age doesn't matter. You know, this idea of when you're 30, you have a certain thing, when you're 40, you have a certain thing, 50, like we all have these kind of milestones that we just are either ingrained in us, or we see, or whatever. And just realizing that you can kind of rewrite it at any time. You can start over at any time. You can quit and just go again. And I think when I was younger, even though I didn't have the sort of traditional, I want to get married, get a house, that I didn't have those, I still felt like time was running out.
Yes. You know, right? I was the same with you. I never had the, oh, I want to have this big wedding. And like, this is, I never had those kind of thoughts, but there were those little timelines as far as work and career and comparing yourself to people that are doing these things. And that's kind of where I would go, oh, but this person has this job or they're doing this. And you'd think, I'm so far behind. And you'd get like stressed out about that. But I think you just have to realize everybody has their own timeline, and yours is, you know, you're doing things, you're on your own timeline, and give yourself the grace and just the kindness, and stop worrying about what other people are thinking. That's another big one that I still try to remind myself, that it doesn't matter what other people are thinking.
It's so hard though, isn't it? Like
it really is. It really is. Especially when you're in a performance-based business, because yes. you kind of are, you know, that's what your job is. It's based on what people are thinking, but you just have to go with, I think, what's in your heart and do what's true to you and not other people. And then you'll yes. be successful.
Yes.
Or hopefully you will.
Yes. what does success mean to you? Do you have a definition that you think about?
You know, for me, it is being happy. Like it literally is being happy and at the end of the week and at the end of the day, just, you know, not stressing out about things that I can't control. And I really think that happiness has always been one of my biggest goals. I, being with friends and laughing and family and just having a great time and just being really, you know, I'm lucky to be able to laugh at work a lot. I think that was just something that when I fell in love with radio as a kid, it was listening to these people through my radio that were just, they sounded like they were having the best time on earth. And I'd be like, I want to be in that room. Like, how do I get to do this? And I think that is just been a goal in my life forever, was just like having a great time at work and at home and, you know, personal and my professional life. And I've been so blessed that that's been kind of the case for the last however many years.
Oh, I love it. Blessed, but you've also worked for it. You put the work in and stuck with it. So it's a combo there.
Thank you.
What kind of, do you have any big goals that you can share? Is there anything in the works? Is there, do you do a vision board? What's on the go for you?
Yeah. You know, I think that with our jobs, I think it's always kind of evolving. Yeah. And eventually I think that I would love if our show was national, like across country, syndicated across the US. I think that would be amazing. Like that is, I think, the ultimate goal is to have a show that's syndicated. I would love for it to be a radio TV type of thing where you could do both, like Marilyn Dennis, who is a Canadian, you know, she's just icon, and she yes. does both. I know she doesn't do the TV thing anymore, but forever she had her own talk show, plus she did her radio show. That to me would be just so awesome.
Oh my God, and you'd be so good at that.
Oh, I would love to do that. And I've always, and maybe this is from one just being really I'm such a radio, I just love, you've loved it from a very young age, but they're just like a call-in show, like an advice call-in show. I always think that that would be so much fun as well. Just calling in, having experts in as well to help with the advice, but that would be something kind of on the vision board as well.
Oh my God, that would be so fun. Oh, I'll put it on my vision board for you. I feel like you're on the way. It'd be so fun. You'd be so good at it. Oh, I love that. Do you actually do a vision board? I started doing one last year. It was the first time I'd done it and I thought it was really fun, but I'm
yeah, you know, I have done one. I kind of like my daughter and I have done them, you know, just as a little craft night. We've done that before. And I do have in my notes in my phone. It's not, you know, the one where you glue in all the pictures of the beaches right. and the, all that sort of stuff. But I do have like just my little goals for the year in my phone that I can always kind of refer back to and just kind of see where I am and what I need to work on. And time is a big thing too, though, because as much as I do have all of these goals and things that I want to do, but I also want to remind myself that I'm happy where I am right now. And that I'm grateful that I have the time to spend with my daughter, because I also look at the fact that she's going to be, you know, doing her own thing soon. So I'm trying to save her these teen years while she lets me in. It's like, okay, she's 13 and she doesn't completely roll her eyes at my husband and I just yet. So let's just pray that this continues. So I'm trying to just savor this time as well with her.
It's hard. I feel like that's such a struggle, isn't it? Of being, if you're a high achieving person, you've got big goals, but then also that being present, being in the moment, it's such a battle.
Yeah, I know. Because it's like, I don't want to be so busy that I don't have the time for my most precious and important thing, my family. So it's, I try to kind of balance both. But I mean, my husband's very, very supportive. If I do have extra things to do, he's, you know, he's there for my daughter. You'd be doing things at home and helping out. So I do have the support when I need it. And I feel like right now, I'll knock on wood, but there, I do have a good work-life balance, which I'm very, very grateful for.
Good for you. Yeah. I know it is really hard. It's one of those things, because I'm an all or nothing type person. So I have, you know, gigantic goals, and then you just realize that time is going by while you're working on them. And it's great. And there's obviously seasons in life where that's where you have to be, right? Just in it.
Yeah.
But recognizing that, yeah, time is moving.
Well, and in the same breath, I mean, there's times where when the movie industry totally shut down last year and there was nothing going on here, and just thinking, oh my gosh, there's no auditions coming up. There's nothing coming up. And just like wanting and waiting for that busyness to start again. And then when it does, you're like, oh, whoa. Okay. Now buckle up, because here it is. We're back, and it's amazing. Thank goodness that happened, though. That was just a really scary time for all the local actors and the film industry, the crews. That was frightening.
Oh my gosh. Especially after COVID, because that was such an impact on the industry as well. So having another thing like that. Yeah. The world is a crazy place these days. I feel like nothing surprises me anymore, but.
No. And, you know, just going back to talking about that timeline and where we hope to be at a certain time or place in our life, I think COVID taught us this is not our timeline. Like, we just have to just buckle up and just, you know, try to do your best in whatever situation that we're kind of being dealt, because everything shut down for us at that point.
Yes. Yeah. That was a very humbling experience.
Yeah. For all businesses, my goodness.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Totally. I know you touched a little bit on advice you would give somebody starting. Is there advice you would give young women starting in media?
I would say, definitely go for it. Go for it. And don't be, you know what my number one thing would be? Don't be afraid to say what your goals are, because that was something I was so scared of. I never would admit to anyone that I wanted to be on the radio, never admitted to anyone that I wanted to get into broadcasting, because I was so afraid that they would say, you don't have the talent for that. What are you talking about? You couldn't do that. And I was just always really afraid to admit it. So I went years just kind of going, oh, I want to get in PR or communications or whatever, which are all amazing things to want to get into. But my real, you know, gut goal was broadcasting and radio broadcasting. But I just was too scared to say it. So never be afraid and just say it. And who cares about what people think? If you want to do something, go for it. And don't be afraid to admit what you want to go for, because as soon as you say it out loud, that's when you can start taking the steps to like making that dream come true, taking those little mini steps, because you don't know who out there hears you. You put it out in the universe. Someone hears you and they'll say, hey, I know someone that does that. You know, maybe you might want to talk to them, or maybe you could volunteer here or work here or apply there. People are so willing to help. Just let them know what it is that you want to do. And you never know.
This show is sponsored by our very own company, Leah Yard Designs. Leah Yard Designs is a jewelry brand in Vancouver, Canada that specializes in unique, semi-precious pieces. The designs are meant to be mixed and matched to celebrate the wearer. We love fashion juxtapositions, which is why you will usually find me in ripped jeans and a ton of gold jewelry. Our goal is to add glamour to every day. Our most popular design is our Zodiac necklace, which was created to celebrate what makes you uniquely you. 5% of all profits in the jewelry collection are donated to the DEWC, a local charity that helps vulnerable women in Vancouver's downtown east side. You can learn more and shop the full collection at www.leahyarddesigns.com.
I think so often we forget that people really do want to help, you know, because I'm sure when you're asked, you're excited to, I mean, you've just given so much inspiration and wisdom right now. Like, I feel like, you know what I mean? It's, we all want to see other people succeed for the most part.
Yes.
And yeah. That's a great piece of advice.
That would be number one, say what you want to do. And then I think number two is be really, kind and be really humble. And I know that sometimes we think that whether or not you've been in the industry for 5 years or 10 years and you think, okay, well, you know, this is it. I've done this for this long and I'm the expert in this field. But I just think we are always, always learning, and the industry is always changing. And it's so sad when you see somebody that you really look up to in an industry and then you find out that they're not the kindest person and they are quite bitter. And you think, wow, like it's just the worst thing ever. And I just think if we could all just be a little bit more kind, it would be such a better place. I mean, in all fields, industry, I know that has to do with everything, not just in broadcasting, but what I mean, it's great to have a goal, but while you're going through and achieving these goals, just remember to be kind and to show, especially people that are new in the industry, your kindness and your support, because we were given that support. Hopefully you were given that support. And so it's just that pass it on sort of thing. I hope that everyone goes into their field with that, you know, kind of thought that, you know, not only do I want to do this for me, but it's because I love this industry. So let's keep this industry amazing.
Yeah, I love that. It's the intention behind it that yeah. makes such a difference.
Yeah. I remember this one time where we were allowed to with BCIT. I went to BCIT and we were allowed to do the little tours of different radio stations. And I was able to meet so many amazing broadcasters that I grew up listening to. And there was someone that I met that I looked up to, and it was at a TV station. And I was just expecting this is, you know, asking them advice, and they would tell me this is a great thing. And, oh, well, get ready. I love this job so much. And it was completely the opposite. It was just, it's hard work. The hours suck. There's no jobs here. And I just left the station going, oh my gosh, that is so, and they still work to this day in the industry. And every time I see them on TV, I'm just like, wow, like that's not the way that I would have motivated a young, you know, bushy-tailed broadcaster that was, even if, I mean, I do believe in real talk, there are fewer jobs. It's, you know, when I first started in radio, I think I was getting $10 an hour, maybe 12, and no benefits, nothing like that. And it's not something that you're going to make a ton of money at right away, and maybe not ever, but it's how much work you put into it. And it's how much you're willing to do on the side and try to, you know, make it into something. And it is hard work. It really is. And there's a way of saying it instead of just telling someone that it all sucks, because then it's like, why are you in this industry if you hate it? Like, I just,
and I still doing it.
That. Yeah.
That's
so I don't
weird.
Understand that. But I mean, it'll always stick out to me not to be that person, especially when somebody is excited about something. It's and you work in that field. I think it is your responsibility to kind of foster the fact that there's a next generation coming in. And I get so excited when someone tells me that they want to get into broadcasting or that this is something they want to do, because I don't think the industry is dead at all, or I wouldn't be in it. I think it's very much alive, and I can't wait for the next generation of people that want to carry on the torch and do a good job, you know, and actually care about it when they're here.
Well, and you never know who you're affecting, you know, like I've met people in my career too, where a similar situation where you just get this advice, and I don't know if they're trying to be helpful or if they're just trying to prove that they've done the work or something.
Yes.
That sticks with you, right? Like you just can't lose that that impression of that person. You just can't lose that. And then it goes the other way, and something, you know, you can hear one thing from one person and it just gives you this boost. And
yes.
I think people don't really realize how much influence we have just person to person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that is the biggest thing, because I have thought of that one conversation. All these little conversations are so important, and that one always sticks out to me. But then on the flip side, there's been about 50 people that have been so loving and so gracious and so helpful. And, you know, I spent the time, I remember when I first got into radio at CFOX on the morning show, and there was people on other stations that would say, if you want me to listen to your demo tape. I had one of the greatest producers. It was my first time ever recording a commercial. And I record this commercial, and it's maybe my like second or third week at the station. And he said to me, I'm going to be honest with you. That was terrible. But what we're going to do is, and it was like in a super funny way, he's like, we're going to do this until it's amazing, until it's great. And we laughed. And then, and I remember, I love that he was real with me, because it was terrible. And he really wanted me to succeed, and he wanted me to be better. And we went through it. And then, you know, I laughed with him about that to this day. I'm like, I love that you told me that, you know, it doesn't have to be all sunshine and rainbows. It was terrible. And you did tell me, and you actually really, really helped me. So I think there is a time when you got to be real. And then there's a time where you have to be really positive. I don't think the negativity, I don't have time for. I don't have time for that negativity, because it's just, and that's what it comes off as. It comes off as just being bitter and unhappy. And maybe I caught that person on a bad day. But like you said, it really, we have to be conscious of what we're putting out there.
Yeah. Well, in that sense of gratitude, because if they were truly grateful for their job, even if they wanted to tell you what was difficult about it, they'd still, you'd feel that intention of like, this is still what I want to do and good for you, and give you a little glimmer of light.
Yeah. A little positive, a little, yes. Yeah. A little tickle slap.
Exactly.
I think we're all okay with that. We want the real deal. Yeah. You're not going to be making six figures when you start your job.
No.
No. But you know what? If you love it, you will definitely carve out a career for yourself. You will, for sure. I know you will. And you just got to stick with it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on following your heart and your passion and doing the work and getting to where you are, because it's not only inspiring to see you be so great at what you're doing, it's also, again, the joy you have when you talk about it. And just like that one person that you remember, there'll be people that listen to this and will remember that and have that spark. So thank you so much for sharing all of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where can people find out more about you? Listen, tune in.
Okay. Well, very easily, just Monday to Fridays on CFOX. It's 99.3. You can listen online as well on the Radio Player app, but it's CFOX Morning Show, the Jeff O'Neill Show. I'm with Jeff and Scott and our producer, Casey. And yeah, Monday to Friday, 6 to 10. And then online, it's at Karen Kunkun. And that's probably the best places. And yeah, I love connecting with listeners and with people that are just broadcasting, you know, students or people that love radio in general. I hope people know that, you know, if they ever have any questions, they can always reach out, because I mean, that's what we're there for. And I also hope that if you have questions or concerns about the community, you call into the radio show and you're a part of our show, because that's what our show has been built on, is just the fact that it's like a water cooler chat with all of us. Like, what's your biggest concerns in your city, in your town, in your workplace, in your life? That's what I hope that we touch upon every single day. That's why I love it so much, because it makes me so connected and makes me feel so connected to everyone that's listening. And it's different every day. It's exciting and it's really fun. I honestly find it to be just a joy that I've been able to do it as long as I have. And I'm so, so flippin' grateful for it. So thank you for having me and letting me talk about it.
Oh, I love it. And I will say just a second that it's like, you guys have so much fun on there, but yeah, you do actually discuss real things. It's not just, you know, listening in on chit chat. Like you guys do cover serious stuff and have a laugh, but it's.
Yeah. It sometimes goes a little sideways and gets extra silly, but we try to take the really serious headlines and just make them, you know, just everyday kind of chatter. I know that it got really heavy with COVID and it was hard to find that line of where can we have fun, because everyone was just not in a great place. Yeah. So it is so wonderful now that life is back to normal and we can just kind of have fun again and be silly, but also tackle some real things too.
Yeah, well done. Karen, thank you so much. It's been such an honor. This has made my day. You're just such a bright light.
Thank you. And you are such a great host. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it was so lovely talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. I really hope this episode gave you a boost of encouragement to follow your own path, even if it's a little unruly or has a few more weeds than you expected. I would love if you could share this with somebody important to you. We never know who needs a boost. If you'd like to learn more, you can find me at www.leahyard.com. And if you want to see a little more behind the scenes, you can connect with me on Instagram at leahyard. And now I will leave you with this. We all have more in common than we do not. Be kind when you can. Judge less, less often, and never, ever underestimate your own potential. I'll see you next week.